Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One. Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Jimmy O Yang joins the show, and we'll talk to him, and then we'll talk news with him as well. Great guy. Always love to see young Jimmy O Yang. First, I'll tell you about Madison Reed, Mister. That is, well, Madison Reed. Well, what do? Well, they make fine quality hair products for ladies, and now they're making them for men. You can color your hair. You can make it look natural. I've used this product on multiple occasions. It's very natural. It's a nice gray blending. You go to Madison Reed Mister. You go online. You pick out the color that matches your natural color. No shoe polish look. Maybe just want a little more pepper and a little less salt. Madison Reed Mister makes it easy to find the color to match. And Lynette loves it. Gina loves it. Quick and easy. Just apply the color gel. Put a little dollop in your hand. Run it through your fingers. Run it through your hair. Wait 10 minutes. Use the activator. Then wait 10 minutes and shampoo out. Super easy. And it's Madison Reed Mister. Right, Dawson?
Go to MadisonReedMister.com. That's MadisonReedMister.com. And use code Adam10 for 10% off plus free shipping on your first box. Again, that's code Adam10.
Just $25, you get wine and gifts. Ace's favorite stuff or products from ACS. Every single month, you get the drink you choose. It's hard to beat cool stuff and booze. Adam's Monthly Nut. Adam's Monthly Nut.
You heard Dick. It's time for a brand new month of Adam's Monthly Nut. This month includes a download of Basic Cable Commentary Presents the award-winning Showgirls, a migraine stick, perfect for your hangovers, an ACS logo pop, stick it on your phone, set it and forget it, a keto-friendly and Finney-approved chipmunk cookie to stave off hunger without a burrito, and of course, a bottle of your choice. The $60 value is yours for only $25. Head to CorollaDrinks.com to get 1 month or keep the shipments coming.
All right, Jimmy O Yang has joined us, friend of the show, Jimmy O. Good to see you, my friend.
What's up, gang? Miss you guys.
All right.
Miss you. The movie, The Opening Act, it's in theaters and VOD and digital everywhere this Friday, October 16th. Not only is Jimmy O Yang starring in this thing, but it's got Bill Burr and Ken Jeong and Cedric the Entertainer and lots of top-notch comedians, Neil Brennan and Whitney Cummings, Russell Peters, Eliza Schlesinger. I mean, all the big names. I saw the trailer. I did not see the entire movie. I just saw the trailer, Jimmy. But the trailer was very funny, and it's hard to do a comedy trailer. It really is. I don't know why. It's easier to do an action or a horror trailer because the jokes need so much setting right up and context and everything. So nice job.
Yeah, well, nice job for the trailer company. You don't know. I could have done a terrible job. We don't know. And also, I mean, yeah, all the characters and the actors you talk about in there, that's just amazing. It's like really the Mount Rushmore, the who's who of, you know, the comedy world. And I loved your boxing movie that you did, Adam. Imagine in that movie that was Mike Tyson, Roy Jones, you know, Ali or whatever. It's kind of how that felt. And it was just cool to kind of hang out with everybody.
Well, yeah.
I just want to tell you, it's a fantastic movie. It's so good.
Oh, thank you, Gina.
And something that you don't expect comes at the very, very beginning. I will just say that the pathos of the first 30 seconds is so endearing and so sweet and so heartbreaking. It's an unbelievable setup for a comedy.
Thank you. Yeah, and I think that's kind of the pathos of stand-up comedians in general. We might be all laughing outside, but it comes from a painful place. It comes from some kind of real motivation, you know, whereas it's your second divorce, your third right DUI, or a loved one dying or something that propel right you into this comedy world that I always find so fascinating. And Steve Byrne, who directed and wrote this, of course, he's been a longtime comedian. So he gets this world and all of us kind of, we get it, you know, and we really just want to see behind the curtains of what it is. Because when you see a stand-up special, it's the polished, finished product of 10 years of work, 3 years of material, whatever it may be. But this is the first time, I guess, you get to see people bombing and feel that low of it, you know, and see the morning radio show you got to wake up at Kansas City to do, and all that fun stuff.
You get
going
to wake
out
up
at
in
night.
Kansas City.
Jimmy, I was talking to Chris, and I made a movie called Road Hard, which is sort of stand up at the end. And Chris said, well, this could be a prequel to that movie. Like, my movie was about an old guy who was washed up and had to go back on the road. But this is a sort of prequel in that it's a new guy getting into stand up. Yeah, I love Steve Byrne. He's such a decent human being. These shoots are, I mean, how many days was the shoot?
19 shoot days. That's it. Like, we didn't get that many takes. Like, I remember you saying this, because, you know, I'm a longtime listener to the show, that when it comes to budget, the difference between an indie and like a big movie, it's not the action stuff, right? It's how many takes you get. It's the time on set. And we shot a bunch of pages every day.
Yeah, it's the budget is about the time, and it's also about the movement. Like, when we were shooting The Hammer, we went to Pierce College and probably shot 7 scenes in just 7 different places, all within 100 feet. Like, this is going to be her office at the courthouse,
right?
And then this is going to be the construction site. We're at the same place. We just went outside. You know what I mean? It was all this weird found stuff. I mean, we couldn't, at some point I did a scene with a lunch truck because the restaurant wouldn't let us shoot in the Italian restaurant. So we just went outside and called a lunch truck, and the lunch truck showed up. Like,
yeah,
you just don't get the time to set up.
Lot of run and gun, and you can't be precious with it. You just got to live in that moment, scene by scene, day by day.
And again, Steve, such a gentleman. It must have been nice to have him as a director.
Yeah, it was great. And I mean, the story, like I said, it just spoke to all of us. You know, it's something that all of us could relate to. And it's really based on his life. All the stuff, that crazy stuff that happens in the second act, where he ends up on the bottom of this girl's trailer while her, you know, cop boyfriend comes back. That all happened to him. The main difference is apparently all the girls just flock to Steve at every city he goes to. And I'm like, wait, this actually happens on the road? I got to work so hard to get laid. Like, what is this? He's turning down girls? What's going on? But I think, you know, all the tribulations and stuff, we can all relate to all of it.
Yeah, Steve's good looking.
What are you trying to say, Adam? What are you trying to say about me, though?
I'm saying
Steve is good looking.
He's the right amount of Asian. You know what I'm saying, Jimmy? I don't know how else to couch it. He's just the right. Yeah. Like paprika. You don't need a bowl of paprika.
I like how if the opening act is the prequel to Roll Hard, you need like an in-between guy to kind of, for me to transform into you, Adam, you need a Steve Byrne as the second movie.
Oh, you're right.
Your movie is the last one of the trilogy. It might be a big jump for me turning into you.
I love that Jimmy, I like that I can hang around long enough to see everyone's career just blossom and motor along, and comedy specials come out, and you see them at the comedy clubs and show up in the movies. And it's nice. It's nice when you take motivated guys who are, you know, relatively sober and they have a good work ethic. You know, you think of guys like Joe Coy, or, you know, even guys like Bill Burr. I mean, the guy's hosting Saturday Night Live. That guy was a kind of knock around guy for a long time. He was just, you know, knock around stand-up comedian. It's nice to see these guys coming to their own. So comedy clubs for you right now, as it pertains, obviously you're an LA guy and LA is all closed down. But what about beyond? Are you doing any dates?
I want to, but I didn't have any plans, because lucky enough I shot and finished my special last November. So I didn't write a ton of new material. I was going to take a break anyways. And then COVID hit. Mm-hmm. So now I'm just focusing my energy in writing, you know, some screenplays and some pitching a couple of shows. And right now I'm in Vancouver. I'm in my hotel right now in Vancouver. We're shooting a movie here for Netflix. Everything is moving to Vancouver now, because it's such a shit show in America. Mm. And everything seems pretty normal here. You can go out to restaurants, indoor, outdoor dining. We're still being careful, because if one of us gets sick, the whole production shuts down. you know. But yeah, feel safe, and it feels normal, which is kind of nice.
Is Vancouver the new Toronto? Because I feel like everything was everything moved to Toronto, and now everything's in Vancouver.
Yeah, maybe. I actually never shot anything in Canada, and Vancouver's great. I feel very good here because Asian people are the majority.
Oh my
so
god,
it's kind of like a San Francisco. So I'm killing it. You know?
Yeah. Remember I was saying you can be too Asian? A city also can take on. No, yeah, it's not just for individuals like Jimmy. So yeah, they've become a little
macro.
Look, Jean-Claude Van Damme is there. Great. Couple more folks that kind of look like him would probably balance things out a little bit. Just looking for balance. That's all.
I don't know.
So
you're saying Steve Byrne is not Asian enough for Vancouver?
No, I'm saying he's just right.
Oh, okay.
Just right. And look, it's not all about Asians. There's a black version of this, obviously. A Hispanic version.
Could you be too white for something?
Oh, come on, Jimmy, please.
The NBA.
I worked with Bonaducci for a number of years. We had our differences, but I never felt threatened. Okay? Yeah, Vancouver is great. I think I went to Jimmy's bachelor party in Vancouver, and I don't know if I went to Mike August's that's how you know it's good.
Yeah.
Two bachelor parties in a row, and it's beautiful. It's like walkable. It's very kind of European without being too far away. You can get there pretty quick from LA. It's pretty much a straight shot.
Yeah, and this is how I figure out a new city. Like right now I'm in Yale Town, this like kind of nice part of town. But then I quickly realized, I'm like, oh, this is like West Hollywood, where like the bougie white people are. Too white for me, you know? Mm. And then I went to Richmond, which is like Monterey Park, which is all the old Asian people from like Hong Kong and stuff, where you get great food. So I'm just like figuring out neighborhoods and correlating them to LA neighborhood. Oh, this is like Santa Monica. This is like downtown, you know?
Yeah, it's funny. Yeah, and I guess that's the personality it'll take. There's a seawall there. You can ride your bike like all the way around the place on a seawall. You can go sit out and watch seaplanes land in the bay and have a beer out on a patio. Yeah, it sounds awesome. The real estate there must be insane right now. I mean,
it's getting up there, but honestly, I think it's gonna keep going up because all the production is going there, like how Atlanta's real estate went up when all the film industry went there. And Chinese people got a lot of money. They're investing a lot in these houses. I heard from my driver that there's a tax if you're not Canadian buying something in Canada, they charge you an extra 15%. And if you leave it vacant as just an investment property, they charge you an extra whatever percentage. So Yeah, it's getting pretty jacked up.
So prices. It's come one, come all from out of town and just leave your tax money.
Yeah, because I think back in the day, first of all, every Chinese person has at least one relative in Vancouver. That's a fact. My aunt lives here. She has a very successful catering business for Chinese food. But I think back in the day, like immigrating to America, there's like a long line and like a lottery, right? But I think to Canada, there's like investment. I don't know if there still is, but like investment migration. So if you put enough money, buy houses or stimulate the local economy, they will give you their version of a green card or citizenship down the line. I think, I don't know how it is now. And honestly, it's interesting. It's the first time there's a park down the street from me called the David Lam Park. First time I've seen a park named after an Asian guy in North America. Very proud of it.
Paid some good money.
Yeah. Yeah, so again, there's a balance to be struck, and maybe the park is crossed a little bit. Now, speaking of Atlanta, Tyler Perry's Madea, too black. Do you see what I'm saying? Madea? Not Tyler. Madea. Crossed.
Jimmy, for God's sake, just so you get it, so we stop getting
it. I cannot, in case I get some Twitter flack here. I'm just going to shut up and let Adam do the damage.
Why not? I got enough. I can destroy my own career on my own.
He doesn't need help.
All right, should we do a little news and Jimmy can sit in with the news and Gina Grad?
I would love to.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gina Grad. Breaking viral. All those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gina Grad. Trouble in the Middle East. Celebrity drunk meltdowns. Deep news with Gina Grad.
The News with Gina Grad.
Hey, Gina, let me slide in a quick spot here before we get rolling. Red Cap, that's who I want to talk about. Comfort done right, making workwear and uniforms since 1923 for the essential workers, making our communities thrive. Clothing for many industries, automotive, culinary, manufacturing, waste management, oil block coveralls, resist engine fluids, and the oil just beads up and rolls right off. That's what I'm talking about. Latest project is for the road heroes, the truckers. They got a trucker tab. It's a $50,000 tab at Cracker Barrel to feed our long haulers, and you can check it out at truckertab.com. Again, these are the guys keeping everything supplied. So, you know, we're calling everyone at a hospital a hero or at a supermarket a hero. But what about people bringing all the stuff into the hospital and to the supermarket? Those heroes need a little love, too. So just go to truckertab.com and donate. Red Cap, workwear done right. All right, Gina, sorry.
Although I think it was just Canadian Thanksgiving, a holiday that's not being celebrated, to my knowledge, in Canada, or being acknowledged, is Columbus Day. And down here, it is celebrated, might be the wrong word. So protesters in Portland pulled down statues of Theodore Roosevelt and Abraham Lincoln on Sunday in a night of rage over the Columbus Day holiday. Organizers called the event Indigenous People's Day of Rage and sought to protest the holiday named in honor of Christopher Columbus. The crowd used chains and blowtorches to remove the statue of Roosevelt. Why Roosevelt? Well, historians noted he was hostile toward Native Americans. Moments later, they toppled the statue of Lincoln and then smashed windows at the Oregon Historical Society. Unclear whether any arrests were made at this time.
Yeah, a lot of unbridled rage out in the street. And I guess, you know, in terms of toppling statues, anything that's older than 15 minutes is ripe for the picking, right? Because that person did something. There was like, well, they either owned a slave or they looked the other way while someone else owned a slave, or they were hostile to the indigenous people. There's not going to be a lot of folks from our history that you couldn't get. It's kind of like, but here's the deal. Me Too is great, except for Al Franken gets chewed up and spit out by Me Too. My thing is like some of these statues, we don't take them all down. Al Franken doesn't have to be destroyed by Me Too. We can give him a slap on the wrist and keep walking. I wonder if people are even, I'll tell you what they need to tear down. They need to tear down that goddamn Kennedy monument that they have in Texas. We talked about that.
Yeah, it's just because you just think it's an eyesore.
It's an eyesore. Yeah, for aesthetic reasons, of course.
They're allowed to rebuild it. They just have to tear it down.
So they had better, more tasteful.
They had a night of rage.
Night of rage.
For indigenous people.
Right.
And
on behalf of,
how many indigenous people you think were involved with that night of rage?
Oh, boy.
Less than 10%?
Significantly.
Probably right around there.
The bulk of these people are just cunty 41-year-old blonde chicks that are just running around fucking burning everything down. Is that
rage? It's like Bill Burr said on SNL that the woke movement's been hijacked by white women. So
it has.
If that's to be believed, then there's probably something to be said for your analysis.
I would like to see what percentage of people, study the game film, Dawson, see what percentage of folks were wearing native garb in the night of rage for the indigenous people. I will bet you it'd be hard to pick out many indigenous people in that group.
You know what I'd be okay with, since I don't know that I'd necessarily have a dog in this fight, even though Columbus seemed to not like the Jews.
Oh, he didn't like the Jews?
I think he was, at least in Hebrew school, we were pretty anti-Semitic. And
I don't think a lot of his views would fit in with today's climate.
Yeah, we're Jews not to be part of the colonization process, but from the way we were taught, a lot of the ships to sail were robbed. They would rob the Jews for their jewelry and stuff, and that's how they'd finance a lot of the ships.
Jewelry?
Fair to him, sailing the open seas in a wooden ship with a Jew,
a lot of kvetching.
A lot of kvetching and not great deckhands, historically. You know what I mean? Like, you can't go,
right.
Hey, Jew, tie me a sheep shank and scurry up that main pole. You know,
not fair with that. We're desert people. We're not water people.
Right.
So, but I think, can't we all just agree in 2020 that between the United States of America and the Cook Islands and land all over the world, can we just not say you found it if it was already lived on? Can we just go ahead and say you didn't discover something that people already lived on?
It does reflect kind of a Eurocentric point of view, which it discovered this land.
You can't discover something that's already being used.
Yeah, I feel that should be for the moon, Mars.
Thank you.
Know, I will give that designation. I'm sure.
I think that'd be nice.
Somebody won't. Somebody's going to find trouble with that thought 20 years from now. But if you're the first person on the moon, then you may claim it in the name of Spain. But after
even Antarctica, even Everest, if you're the first to literally be somewhere, then by all means, toot your own horn. But easy on America.
Yeah.
I think we can all agree on that. So Twitter is making it harder.
Why don't we think of America as a fixer-upper? And we just kind of came and, gave it some curb appeal.
Oh, okay.
Put down a little sod, killed some Indians.
Oh, Jesus.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Just made
perfected
it a little more.
Perfected the Pottsville blanket.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, Allison, you can be too Jewish.
Yeah, I heard it.
Sorry. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
So Twitter's making it harder for tweets to go viral ahead
of
the election.
Wait, did I call you Allison?
You did.
I'm sorry.
That's all good.
Sir,
making it harder
of Allison Rosen, who is very Jewish.
Very Jewish.
He wasn't apologizing for us.
No, I'm not
too
apologizing
Jewish.
For that.
No, I know exactly.
The spirit of the comment.
Wrong Jew.
I know exactly what he was owning up to.
Yes.
To combat the spread of misinformation, it's going to be very difficult, or at least more difficult than you're used to retweet for this upcoming election. The New York Post reports that users who hit the retweet button on a tweet will be taken to a screen where they can add commentary to their retweet. Users can skip the commentary, but that will lead to extra steps to finalize the retweet. So they just don't want people just doing what they're used to and just retweet, and making something that might have misinformation, election misinformation, go viral without at least having to do a little extra footwork.
So you can just put like a smile emoji and then retweet it and it's fine. But
yeah,
I guess that's an opinion.
Yeah, exactly.
Emoji.
Exactly. Yeah. So things like they say, we hope it'll encourage everyone to consider why they're amplifying a tweet. Meanwhile, anyone who attempts to retweet a tweet that's been flagged with misinformation by Twitter will receive a full screen alert telling them that it contains disputed information as well as a link to additional information on the topic. So just to slow down the wave of tweets, especially in election times.
How I wonder what the vetting process is for a lot of this stuff. Like think about all the COVID stuff, you know?
Yeah.
Like, you know, a lot of data is coming back saying open the schools. The kids need to go to schools or something. There was a time when maybe that got flagged. But how do we decide? Yeah. You know, if you take the nation and if you said, all right, we'll just take the nation, and you could pretty much just split them in half. You could split them in half with governors and mayors and scientists and epidemiologists and stuff, and you could find a huge pool of people that were like, got to open the schools, it's hurting the kids, it's healthy, it's safe. Then you could find a huge group of people, it's like, keep it closed down, not safe, not healthy.
Yeah.
So then who is the arbiter
of
the who decides which one of those opinions is right?
I don't have that information, but I'm assuming they're probably, I would imagine the algorithm traces it back to the original source. So if it comes from proudboys.com, maybe it gets flagged. If it comes from antifa.net, it might get flagged. You know, that's a guess of mine.
Yeah, it reminds me. I got a meeting coming up, so if we could just kind of.
Oh, yeah. Speaking of pride.
Moving. Yeah.
Coming out there.
Yeah.
Here's something.
To be fair to me, I thought a Proud Boy was a sandwich when I walked into the place. I mean, to be fair.
With fried shrimp and mayonnaise.
Mike August is always fucking talking about it.
Back in New Orleans.
So I saw the sign. You know, I walked in. I was going to get a sandwich. And then I listened for a while. That's all.
Yeah.
That's all.
You came for the sandwich. You stayed for the good advice.
This is some good, you know. You know,
provocative
a broken
thought.
Clock is work,
compelling.
Works twice a day, you know, and it's right twice a day. Anyway, I thought it was a sandwich place, so that's my story.
A priest in, speaking of Louisiana, a priest in Louisiana was busted recently for having a threesome on the altar of his church with two dominatrixes. All three of them were arrested for obscenity. Oh, it gets even better. 37-year-old Reverend Travis Clark is the pastor of a Catholic church in Pearl River, Louisiana, and he was arrested a few weeks ago after somebody walked by the church at night hearing noises and saw the following. One, Travis was having a threesome with two women on the altar. Two, he was wearing his priest robes and using adult toys. Three, the women were both dominatrixes. Four, there
was... Hold on. This is all through stained glass? Like,
were they... That's part of why they're in trouble.
They have a fucking nanny cam in there? How'd that person see everything? It's at night? I walk by a church? There's no glass you can see through? How do you...
I may be able to answer that in the next sentence, but not... I mean, not a full answer, but a little bit. There was stage lighting and at least two cameras filming.
Oh,
the whole thing was clearly visible from the street.
All the productions are leaving town to go to Louisiana. Yeah. Right.
The person took a video, called the police. Travis was arrested on obscenity charges, and so were the two dominatrixes.
He took a video and 25 minutes later called the police.
when he was in his refractory period.
That's right.
A few days after the arrest, the New Orleans Archdiocese performed a ritual on the altar to restore its sanctity.
What do you do in that ritual?
Sex with a virgin.
Right.
Because these two women were the opposite of that.
Right. That's how you undo it.
If there are two dominatrices and sex toys, that means the sex toys being used on the dude, right?
Oh, I like that.
Right? Because you don't use sex toys on people dominating you. I don't know.
You don't know?
That's a very good point.
You don't know? Maybe you do know.
Sound like you know.
Sounds like you know.
I'm going to do my research tonight, and we'll find out.
You're right. If they, in fact, are dominatrix, you are getting the business end of the dildo, not them.
Yeah.
Yeah. You get the stinky end.
Very astute.
Yeah, no, it's true. It's right. They'd have to be doing that. And also, if you're the kind of guy who thought that would be a good idea, you'd probably be that guy, right?
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's your lifestyle.
Yeah, go big or go home.
Mm. And this guy was a man of the cloth. I mean, he was certified and bona fide. And
yeah.
He was all of that.
Yeah. He was wearing his robes, his priestly robes.
Huh. And he was filming this.
Yes. For crew, who? Lighting. For the rest of us.
And
it was a gift.
And was that his parish? I mean, was he working that? If he wasn't caught, would he be up Monday morning, you know, delivering a homily?
It says a 37-year-old Reverend Travis Clark is the pastor of a Catholic church in Pearl River. So I would imagine it's his church. You'd have the keys, you know, going after hours.
Oh, he lives there.
It'll be more understandable to do it at somebody else's church as revenge.
It's a bold move.
Yeah.
Like stealing someone's mascot at a football game.
Or like flying over your ex's house in a dirigible and having sex in the basket, in the gondola.
Right. You know very elaborate.
We've all done that.
Yeah, we've all done that.
We can all
classic prank.
Yeah. Classic. Yeah.
So the ritual was the archbishop. He processed down the aisles of the church, sprinkling the walls with holy water, then anointed the altar with chrism, pouring the oil onto its surface.
Chrism?
It's called chrism.
Is that Chris's jism?
Pouring the oil on its surface and spreading it in his hands.
And then he jerked off. Like what? Like you have to have a higher power priest to jerk off to cleanse your other sins, right?
You sound like you know a lot about this, Jimmy.
Eye for an eye, you know, a cum shot for a cum shot. I mean, come on.
Guy makes a point
for chrism's sake. That's all just weird. My thing is you know what? I'd light off a couple of holiday foggers. You know, the stuff they use in bad apartments to get rid of roaches. Right. How can you go wrong with a holiday fogger? You know what I mean? You get like the six pack from Home Depot and you pull the wick on all of them and just let it sit overnight.
It's a real atmosphere.
Put some newspaper down.
Uh-huh.
Get the Swiffer out and wipe the place down the next morning. That'll kill about anything that's in there.
They consecrated a new altar at the church and they ordered the old one removed and ritually burned.
Oh,
ritual.
You have to.
The consecrated
archbishop?
Yeah. Yeah,
so
is an archbishop.
From my recollection of the Catholic Church, archbishop's in charge of several churches. Like he's in charge of the archdiocese.
So he
may have been scouting for a few months. Like, well, which of these would make a good porno set?
Interesting.
Is he done? Is he fired? I feel like sometimes bishops are like tenured and they don't ever get
that's
fired.
That's true. But this dude was brought up on charges.
Yeah. But does that mean he's fired?
Yeah, like, he might be a new district.
That's a good point.
He's got to do some time and then come right back.
Not if you watch Spotlight, it doesn't mean he's fired.
All right. Yeah, another depressing movie.
Yeah.
91. Hey. All right, what else we got? So they got to, it's like, we got to consecrate this altar because it's covered with chrism. This all feels weird and sexual to me.
Yeah,
all right, sorry.
As it should. So this is something that I came across that I thought you would be very interested in, but I'm going to warn you in advance. I don't have the math on it. Please don't ask me. Researchers in Australia report the human body is closing in on the fastest possible marathon time, predicting someone may break the 2-hour mark by 2032. So after building a statistical model for male and female marathon world record year to year, Dr. Angus Johnson estimates the fastest time any living human can run a 26.2-mile race is 1 hour, 58 minutes, and 5 seconds. He predicts the fastest time possible for a female is 2 hours, 5 minutes, 31 seconds.
Why does he hate women?
Yeah. At the current rate in which world records fall, this will be reached sometime in the next 2 decades, he says. So in a normal year, over 800 marathons are run around the world. Fastest time ever that we have for a man is 2 hours, 1 minute, 39 seconds,
wow.
Kenyan. And a Kenyan woman, 2 hours, 14 minutes, 4 seconds. So I read the article. There's a long mathematic algorithm how they got there. And I thought, I cannot break this down. But the way they figured it, that literally a human being cannot go faster than run this in less than 1 hour, 58 minutes and 5 seconds.
It is. We don't make enough of it. But if you would like to do a world class time in the marathon, you're going to have to average under 5 minutes a mile. For 26 miles. And if anyone's gone to a junior high track and tried to get around it 4 times in under 6 minutes, it's devastating. You will be vomiting halfway into that. Now, the deal is they run 26 miles faster with an average time that is much faster than you could do 1 mile.
Your best 1 mile.
Your best 1 mile. And I would argue probably your best half mile, if you just doubled up that time, would be better, would be slower than their 26 that they average. I also think women are catching men in the marathon. I don't know that. You know, the best time for man is 01, 02. Woman is 2:14. It's about 12 minutes and change. But I feels like back in the day, it was a half hour off. Jimmy, I got a thought. You tell me. Every year, the winner of the marathon are always the disabled guys in the super wheelchairs. Now they're trikes. They're like a 3-wheel thing. They're made in Germany.
Shaped like a rocket.
They're made out of carbon fiber and composite stuff. And these guys are, it's America's Cup on wheels. You know what I mean? These guys are just zooming along at 40 miles an hour. These guys in the wheelchairs, and what they're calling wheelchairs, they're not, they're, you know, catamarans or trimarans or something, whatever. They're rocket ships. These guys are doing it in like an hour and 10 minutes. Like they are doubling up on the Kenyans on this. I think it's a little out of hand. I feel like they're relying too much on technology. And my suggestion is they have to do it in the old style hospital wheelchairs, like the ones that would push, you know, when your wife has triplets, the one they push her out the door in, old school, whatever the local hospital is, go get me 8 of those and you got to go at it.
Or I think just for us, non-wheel people to do it, maybe, you know, they have their rocket ships. That's their advantage. We get to do roids.
Oh,
that will even the playing field.
I don't know that roids help. I think in that particular sport, roids don't help, but juicing would, like recovery and all that.
Yeah, doping, whatever.
What is the time for the fastest marathon on wheels? Jimmy O's got to punch out in a second.
I have 1 hour, 20 minutes.
1 hour, 20 minutes. Oh, wow. So those guys are drunk at an Applebee's across from the finish line when the Kenyans roll in. Mm-hmm. And they get to yawn and look at their watch and go, oh, that's cute.
What's the holdup?
Yeah, I thought we were going to meet at the Applebee's at noon. What? Jesus Christ. Oh, okay. Is this, were we in the same race? Excuse me, I'm confused. Wait, okay, because I stepped on a bouncing Betty in Vietnam. But evidently it hasn't slowed me down. You know?
If anything.
If anything. Yeah. And I'm just trying to avoid those kind of awkward conversations.
Makes sense.
And this is the only way we can do it.
Good looking out.
Jimmy O. Yang, everybody. The opening act out in theaters, VOD, and digital this Friday, October 16th. Filled with every comedian but me is in this movie. And
it's a shorter list when you say it that way.
Hold on. Jim Carolla and Chris Carolla? He put my parents in this movie?
Sonny Carolla?
Whitney Cummings, Chris Carolla, Sonny Carolla, Jim Carolla, Liza Schlesinger. Jesus Christ. Again, the opening act, it is coming out this Friday. And we'll get Steve on here. I was just right. And we'll bring him in and talk to him soon about this triumph. Good to see you, my friend.
Great seeing you guys.
The great Jimmy O. Yang. Oh, and I'm going to definitely give his stand-up special a plug, too. Good deal. It's available now on Amazon Prime Video. All right. Let me hit LifeLock here. Pandemics led to a huge increase in unemployment claims, sadly. Con artists have filled tens of thousands of fraudulent claims, and they're using consumers' identities. The FTC has moved identity theft to the number one spot for fraud in America. I told you guys, criminals are lazy. Mm-hmm. They want to just sit home and hack into things and drain your accounts and steal your information. They don't want to get bit by a dog or shot with a pellet gun, so they just sit home and hack your life. You can miss certain threats if you're just monitoring your credit. Good thing there's LifeLock. LifeLock detects a wide range of identity threats, like your social security number, for sale on the dark web. So take care of yourself. If they detect your information, they'll send you an alert. It's LifeLock. Right, Dawson?
No, prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses. LifeLock can see threats you might miss on your own. Join now and save up to 25% off your first year by using promo code Adam. Call 1-800-LifeLock or head to LifeLock.com. Use promo code Adam for 25% off.
Let's do one more, Gina Grand.
All right. Let's see. Well, let's do this since it's holiday season, and even I'm surprised editorially at the basicness of the top 10 costumes being searched on Google. They come out with this list every year, and I really thought, you know, with everything going on in the news, there'd be a little more variety, but if you take a wild guess at one of the top 10 things, I promise you you'll get one. Halloween costumes being searched right now.
These are adult costumes?
I think it's just in general.
I assume a Trump costume is up there.
No, it is not.
What about
more basic?
More basic than that.
Did Tiger King, that movie, that series, is that out this year?
Yes, it is. Think just broad.
Cop, just nurse.
Nouns. Okay, I'll tell you. So this is the top 10 list. I'll speed through it because in a time where we have sexy ballot and things like, you know, these crazy things, we have Spider-Man, Ninja, Devil, Fortnite in general, Angel, Clown, Rabbit, Harley Quinn, and Dinosaur. People are not feeling very creative right now, and who can blame them?
Harley Quinn is the new I look hot in tight shorts outfit, but I need a good reason.
I'm all in favor of them. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm in favor of the Harley Quinn costumes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think the ultimate workout dude shave chest guy is Baby, when the guy just puts the diaper on and has
with
the thing, and it's just really just him showing the pecs and the deltoids off all party,
right? Yes.
And it's always sad because traditionally it's fucking cold outside on Halloween, and the guy who goes as Baby is literally just wearing a loincloth the entire time,
and he can cut glass walking around like that.
Yeah, put an eye out.
So Halloween, do people even Are people trick-or-treating? Or well, is it allowed? Is it?
That's what we can't figure out now that they went from banning it to do your thing.
I saw a headline that is discouraged.
That's the thing, but we don't condone it. So that's what I'm like, well, what are we going to do with a five-year-old? Get them all dressed up, get them all excited, and then just see if anybody puts their light on? It's sad.
Did people, Max Patta, did the Lakers won the championship yesterday as we tape this. Did people take to the streets and get out and get busy
out
there?
Yes, they did.
Oh, they
I
did.
Think Jeff will probably get into that.
Oh, okay. So maybe we'll save that for Jeff. But
sure did.
All right. Well, nothing you can do about that. All right. Let's bring it home, Gina.
You got it. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news.
Gina Grad.
That was the news with Gina Grad.
Well, last but not least, there is Geico. You know what's scary? Not having auto insurance, and that's why you got to go with Geico. Geico's going to save you 15% or more on your car insurance. And by the way, you could do a boat, you can do home, I think RV, whatever, motorcycle, whatever you want to insure, you can do it with Geico. So you stop thinking about how much you're going to pay in automotive insurance and motorcycle insurance, RV, whatever you like, and save that 15% or more with Geico. All right, Brian is going to hang out because Bill Hanstock is our guest and all balls, and he wrote a book, although I don't have his bio in front of me, but he's going to be talking WWE, and Brian knows WWE. I don't have anything on him in front of me. Do it a little earlier. All right, so we'll take a quick break. We'll come back. Thanks, Gina. We'll come back with Bill and Jeff and Brian. We'll talk a little WWE and all sports right after this.
It's time to break down the game film and look at the X's and O's, the KOs and the O-Nos from the world of sports. BetOnline presents All Balls, All Sports.
Well, two quick headlines brought to you by BetOnline. The great Joe Morgan, second baseman on Cincinnati's Big Red Machine, has passed away. Morgan helped the Reds win the 75 and 76 World Series. He was MVP of both, Hall of Famer, often remembered for that iconic elbow twitch in the batter's box thing that he did, which I loved, 10-time All-Star. And after his playing days, he was a broadcaster who had kind of a nice way of translating baseball strategy into layman's terms.
He was a good broadcaster.
Yeah, he was. He was really good.
He was. I'll introduce our guest, Bill Hanstock, who's got a book out. And we'll get back to Joe in a second. I promised you a great main event. We'll talk about WWE. I don't know much about it, but Brian does, and so does Bill. So good to see you, Bill.
Yeah, good to see you as well. Thanks for having me.
So Joe Morgan, how old was he? He was in his 70s?
Joe Morgan was 77.
Really?
77, yeah.
I didn't feel that old.
No. And he had some rare form of polyneuropathy.
Guys used to have, when I was a kid, I felt like the Dallas Cowboys offensive line would do the up-down move before they got in the three-point stands. And Joe Morgan had his chicken wing flapping. And people had their own stuff working. And it was kind of unique to them. And it's the kind of stuff you could emulate. Like when you're playing Little League, you do the chicken flap or you do the up-down thing in Pop Warner. Everything's kind of like cars are now. Like you drive on the freeway and you go, is that an Audi A7? No, that's a Honda Accord. Oh, they look the same. Like everything, the wind tunnels just shape everything and everything just kind of looks the same now.
You had Rick Barry shooting free throws underhand.
Yeah.
One of the few guys you can that is genuinely unique. Chris, find a clip of Johnny Cueto, the pitcher for the Giants. He has that stop-start hesitation.
Yeah.
Like wind up, and it's truly unique. I've not seen anything else like that, and that's one of the few examples of that still exists.
Yeah, I kind of miss that. Yeah.
Yeah, baseball has a little more of that, fortunately. Also, we should congratulate the Los Angeles Lakers. Won their 17th NBA crown, 12th here in L.A. The first five were in Minneapolis way back when the players wore like work boots on the floor and said stuff like, tonight we might break 40. so And they did have people flocked to Staples, and there were cops breaking up a giant celebration. It looked like Texas. It was crazy. I mean, it looked like Detroit after the Red Wings win. It was a little nuts.
You think about the shorts they wore back then, too. Like, all right, guys, cinch up those belts. We're going to work tonight. And, hey, Bob, you want to get a little more scalp polish on those shorts? They're starting to fade.
Sure. They were only 6 inches long, and they still had a cut V, inverted V at the, right. At the seam to give them a little more room, you know.
Yeah,
like wiggle around.
Yeah, like it's you. It'd be like you going, this Speedo is so confining. I don't feel like I can move it. Bill, I feel like we should talk to you about your book.
I can talk about short shorts all day.
I was going to say, the guys in the
Talk about even shorter shorts now.
The book is out, by the way. We promised you a great main event. It is unauthorized WWE history and is out today. It's available on Amazon and anywhere you get books. What would surprise us the most in this book, Bill?
Probably just taking a look at the WWE version of what they say history is in professional wrestling versus what the actual story of wrestling has been throughout history. And the fact that WWE writing their own history as the last major company standing, at least until, you know, this past year, is not new to the history of professional wrestling. Almost since day one, the people who've been putting on professional wrestling, the promoters, have been the earliest professional wrestling promoters sort of got in bed with sports writers early and wined and dined them and said, we're the biggest in town. We're the best. Right. Our stars are the best. And here's why. And then got those journalists to tell their stories for them.
Well, back then it was largely, correct me if I'm wrong, please, but it was largely regional, right? Like you had to promote your regional events and you had the Atlantic or, you know, coast, or you had, you know, this Midwest sort of thing.
Sure. And that was, of course, by design because, you know, the internet didn't exist. Cable television.
The limitations of the day.
Sure, sure. So, you know, Vince McMahon's family, the McMahons, largely operated out of the Northeast, which was sort of just shorthand referred to as New York. And then you had Southern wrestling, which was carved up into Texas, into Florida, into the Memphis area. And then you had St. Louis was a hot spot. And then out here on the West Coast, you had Ray Lewis and some other people who were doing LA territory. And then there was a Bay Area territory with a Cow Palace. So it was all carved up into different areas. But every so often, you know, even starting back from the 1910s, 1920s, every so often, there would be a big expose that would come out about how wrestling isn't actually legitimate. And it would sort of take the bottom out of the business for a handful of years, and then it would get back again, and then there would be another big expose that would come out. And maybe the most famous of those is in the 1930s. There was a book called The Fall Guys that came out, and it was you know, a book that was released nationally and worldwide, sort of, hey, here's how wrestling isn't real. But the truth of that book is that it was written by people who were in league with one of the promoters.
Another area, sure.
Yeah, so it was a targeted expose. It wasn't the real expose. So even that, like that formative book of like, here's us pulling the wool off the entire industry, was itself kayfabe, which, you know, is wrestling shorthand for making believe that, or putting up the pretense that all of pro wrestling is real.
How big is wrestling right now? Oh, we'll put COVID aside for that. But right now, how big is it? You know, of course, in the 80s, it had this huge resurgence with all these names that we all know. And Brian knows all of them. Where's it now compared to then?
That's really actually a really interesting question, because while the TV ratings are the lowest they've been since pre-Hulk Hogan, the television ratings, which a lot of pro wrestling fans fixate on, is not even the tip of the iceberg in the terms of the story of the popularity of professional wrestling right now. Pro wrestling in the past few years has actually had a huge moment. An independent wrestling scene really exploded. The international wrestling scene really exploded a few years ago.
The women's division is killing it.
Yeah, women's wrestling is exploding more and more all the time, especially within WWE right now. But a few years ago, wrestling exploded in England, which not a lot of people foresaw. The United Kingdom, Scotland, Ireland, and England all had massive independent pro wrestling scenes just come up and do great. And fans over here were getting super into it. Japanese wrestling went through a huge renaissance recently. New Japan wrestling was at the forefront of that. And fans over here stay up until 1, 2, 3, 4 in the morning on the West Coast to watch the major events in Japan that go on. New Japan has brought events over here that have done sold out crowds. New Japan actually in concert with Ring of Honor, which is a United States wrestling, independent wrestling promotion. That's actually owned by Sinclair Broadcasting. The joint Ring of Honor New Japan show sold out Madison Square Garden last year, which was the first time a wrestling event that wasn't a WWE wrestling event was held at Madison Square Garden in decades. Sold it out instantly.
I was picturing, when you're saying that Japanese wrestling fans at 4 a.m., I was picturing the soccer pubs where the thing 6 a.m. and they're drinking Guinness. Like, we should have like a sake pub where I open it in Santa Monica and just invite all the Japanese rest. They'd probably be the best fans in the world. Like, they'd clean up after themselves, you know.
Very polite.
I wouldn't go into the women's bathroom and see someone to kick the tampon machine off the wall. These are good alcoholics, people. All right. Well, the book is called We Promised You a Great Main Event. It's the unauthorized WWE history, and it's available as we speak on Amazon and beyond. Jeff, you got another well, let me hit a Bet Online here, and then we'll get to your segment. Bet Online, that's what I'm going to say. Football, it's in full swing. MLB playoffs are here. Also, what else we got out there? Well, you might not be able to get to the game, but you can still get in on the action with Bet Online. Ravens are playing the Eagles. That should be a good game. Titans at Texans. I don't know about that one. Rams at 49ers. That's going to be a good game. Browns at Steelers. Packers at Buccaneers. Oh, God. Did you, Brian, you were watching that damn Seattle game last night?
No, that one I missed. We were doing the show.
I'll tell you about it in a second, but more options to wager than anywhere online. Spreads, totals, props. Get in on season opening bonuses and championship futures. Head to BetOnline today. Take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. Visit betonline.ag, our exclusive partner at Podcast One. Don't forget promo code Podcast One for your sign-up bonus today. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. I was watching that game, that Sunday night game, with my son.
Yeah.
And, of course, I'm rooting against the Seahawks because they're in the Rams division. And Rams are 4-1 now or whatever. And the Seahawks are undefeated. And they could have been 4-1. And, okay, why not? At a certain point, miraculously, they're losing the game. It's the end of the game.
To the lowly Vikings, right?
To the lowly Vikings. Yeah. And the game is over. And now the ball is on the 5-yard line, and the Vikings have the ball, and there's 2 minutes left, and it's 4th and about 9 inches. And they're up by 5 points. So they could hand the ball off and get a first down, and the game's over. Or they could kick a field goal and go up by 8 points, in which case Russell Wilson and his Seahawks would have less than 2 minutes to go the length of the field after the kickoff and score a touchdown and then score a 2-point conversion. And then that wouldn't give them the win. That would then send it into overtime.
Right.
And I'm not conservative at all, but I was looking at my son going, just kick the ball. Just you have a field, you have a 23-yard field goal. You kick it. And once you kick this field goal, the other team has to go the length of field, score in under 2 minutes, then get a 2-point conversion.
Yep.
And then that'll just get you to overtime.
Yep. Because it doesn't change what the other team has to do. They'll score a touchdown, but it adds the onus of the 2-point conversion.
They then tried to run the ball, got stuffed.
Jesus.
Russell Wilson came in with, you know, 1:57 left, completed a 4th down like Hail Mary. They had a 4th and 10, went the whole length of the field, scored on the last play, 4th down, no time on the clock.
Welcome to Minnesota Vikings football.
I mean, look, I never harp on coaches for not being conservative, but in this particular case, just send out the field goal unit.
Take the points.
Also, what does the other team want you to not do? And I would say kick that field goal. But it was raining pretty hard, so maybe that factored it in. But that was goddamn miraculous. Like, at the time, sorry, just let me finish this thought.
Sure.
At the time they were deciding whether to kick the field goal or try to punch it in 6 inches and get a first down, the chances at that time of the Seahawks winning that game had to be way less than 3%. Because either they're going to move the ball 6 inches and the game's going to be over, or they're going to kick a field goal and essentially the game's going to be over. Like, that thing was done. Sorry, Brian, go ahead.
Yeah. No, you mentioned maybe because it was raining, they didn't want to bring in the field goal kicker. I was playing against the field goal kicker in fantasy, and I'm following along, and he made a 47-yarder and a 57-yarder in that game. So I don't think the coach was hesitant to bring out the field goal kicker for lack of confidence.
Yeah, and that was literally a field goal from the 5 yard. That was an extra point style field goal.
Think at this point people would know just not to bank everything on Kirk Cousins calling a great game.
Right.
And not only that, but Russell Wilson has pulled so many wins out of his ass over the last 5 years.
It's a perennial MVP candidate.
You want to put the ball in that guy's hands at the end of the game?
Yeah, it was a horrible decision.
All right, Jeff, what do you got?
I got the bet online or another story if you want it, whatever you want to do.
Sure.
What do you want? You want to hit the...
Yeah, do the bet online.
Well, let's check the Bet Online line from Bet Online. Tonight, it's that national treasure, Adam. Tuesday night football.
Woo! Hmm.
Two undefeated. 4-0. 4-0 Buffalo Bills. 3.5-point favorites over the 3-0 Tennessee Titans. The over-under, 49.5. That might be a little more attractive bet. 3.5-point Bills favorites at Tennessee. Meh. 49.5. That's not bad. That's what you do. That's your Bet Online line from Bet Online. I'm Jeff Cesario for All Balls, All Sports.
All Balls, All Sports. Presented by Bet Online, your online sportsbook expert.
Well, I'm going to be in Lafayette and enjoying one of those Proud Boy sandwiches. Lafayette, Louisiana, coming up the Cajun Dome Saturday. See, it sounds better when you
sounds like you're fighting someone in the Cajun Dome.
In the Cajun Dome. Two men enter. Three leave. It's a twist. The Cajun Dome, that'll be Saturday, October 24th. We'll do a live pod there. Drew's going to zoom in, and I'll do a stand-up show after that. West Palm Beach, Florida, doing some shows there November 20th and 21st, and we'll do a live Reasonable Doubt there. So Garagos will fly out for that. Bill Hanstock's book, we promised you a great main event. Out as we speak, Jimmy O. Yang's movie, what was it, The Opener?
The Opening Act.
The opening act. Sorry, that's in front of me now. You can check out our YouTube page, youtube.com/Adam Carolla. And until next time, it's Adam Carolla for Gina and Bill and Jimmy and Jeff. Saying mahalo.
Follow the Adam Carolla Show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow Ace on Twitter at Adam Carolla. You can leave us a voicemail at 888-634-1744. Big thanks to Bet Online. And pick up Adam's new book, I'm Your Emotional Support Animal. It's available everywhere. Get the links at adamcarolla.com.
You know, it's really scary. Just see how much you could have been saving on your car insurance by switching to GEICO. Almost as scary as that homemade elf costume your mom made you wear in junior high school. GEICO can't erase the memory of tripping down the hallway in pointy shoes, but they could save you 15% or more on your car insurance. Stop waking up at night in a cold sweat, wondering what happened to that green onesie. Just switch to GEICO and save 15 minutes. You could be saving 15% or more on your car insurance.
Hey, movie lovers, who needs a theater when you have Pluto TV? Grab your popcorn and your streaming device because free movies are here. Pluto TV is your home for movies. Great movies are playing anytime in over 20 exclusive movie channels of action, horror, rom-coms, and more. Watch hits like Saving Private Ryan, Pretty in Pink, and Charlie's Angels all for free. No signups, no fees, no contracts. Ever. Download the free Pluto TV app on any device.